Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. The Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. Hey, chefs and foodies, grab a seat with your new friends, Sid and Lisa. They tell you what you need to know, make you laugh about it also. Talking wine and cheese, steak to bisque, won't wanna miss. Servings of this and possibilities. Gonna take you there on the Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast. It's the Foodie Shack Podcast, the Foodie Shack Podcast.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 65 of the Foodie Shack Podcast. It's Cedric the Chef.
And Lisa the Foodie.
Let's talk food for the week. First, we're going to start out like we always do, sending positive energy into everybody. And hope everybody's been having a great time, enjoying life, enjoying some good food. And, you know, weather's been pretty good here lately. So I said after the eclipse, it got pretty cool outside, but weather's been pretty good, though. You know, ain't nothing, really nothing to complain for. It's time to get the gardens ready. You know, it's the beginning of the year for growing and everything. So, hope everything's been good for you. What's been going on, Lisa?
For me? Oh, just the same old, nothing new, nothing too much new. I'm always doing something, but I'm always forgetting, too. And so, forgive me, everybody, but I'm always on this food journey. I can say that I can't say that I've done my best lately, but I have tried to eat out a little less. I've probably definitely curbed it, but it's still nowhere near what it's supposed to be. And I need to do more cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Food is getting so horrible with these restaurants these days, man. It is
easier to choose not to go out.
Yeah, these kids are destroying restaurants. You know, you got to have a certain level of love and a certain amount of current to produce good quality food. I don't care where you, if you're making hamburgers from already done, it still has to be done a certain way, you know, for it to look right and taste right and stuff. So, but a lot of these people, man, that are working in the restaurant field these days, it's like they don't really care. We have such a hard time ourselves finding good employees, you know, and keeping good employees. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that, you know, I tend to stick with my favorites, and that's if I can explore on your menu, then you can become a favorite place of mine to go to.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people know it's not a lot of variety, you know. It's like places that you used to enjoy, you can't really enjoy them anymore because it's like so much has changed with the food. It's either they've gone to cheaper products, which a lot of them have. Once COVID came around and the food prices started rising so much, a lot of people went to cheaper products because it's better for their bottom line, especially in corporate settings. They don't. A lot of times they don't care about the quality of the food. It's about the bottom line and the profit that they make off of things. So if it's easier for them to go to a cheaper product, even though it doesn't taste better, it makes them more money. So
well, I wish people would, you know, speak with their pocketbooks when you know, changing up something because you have to, that's one thing. But changing it up to where the quality is just poor, piss poor, because I still refuse to walk back into another Razoo's. I don't know what that was they were serving.
So a few weeks ago, I went to a food show. Mm-hmm. I went to a Billy Keith food show. So at these food shows, it's all kinds of vendors, and they hire these chefs to push their products or whatever. Now, I could tell that most of these people don't taste the product that they try to push.
That they're pushing.
Because a lot of it is horrible. So just think about being in a food. It's everywhere. All kinds of foods from fishes to steaks to all kinds of desserts. And these people, they trying to get your business because they want you to push their products out of your facility. So we taste so many things, and people who we already use, we kind of stay away from them because we know how their products taste. But we go there to taste the new vendors, but a lot of it was so horrible. And it's products, and so many people have moved towards products that you can just warm and serve. And y'all don't realize this as consumers going out to eat at places, mm-hmm. but a lot of people are not cooking from scratch like they claim to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of products that come already prepared that already you got to do is, all you got to do is warm them up and serve them. You know?
It's always, that's funny because you can always kind of tell that when I ask that question, can you adjust? No, it's already put together. That's what I get. Yeah, no, we can't do that.
Yeah. That's why I try to stick with a lot of mom and pop places, mm-hmm. you know, because 9 times out of 10 from them, you're going to get some authentic cuisine from them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're going to get some food that's made with love. And you can tell the difference when food's been made from scratch and food's been opened up out of.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what I say. I say I can tell. I'm sure there's some stuff I haven't been able to tell the difference from.
Yeah.
But that Chili's and what is that other place? That Applebee's?
Well,
I don't know what's happening there.
Okay, so you have to understand about places like that. Now, they may cook their hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
They may cook their steaks. Mm. But they're not bread, no chicken fried chicken. They're not bread, no chicken fried steak.
Yeah.
They're not back there hand making no egg rolls.
Mm-hmm.
These are all products that they're buying.
Yeah. You can kind of tell when it's the same product at a different chain.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay.
So Ben and Keith is this big food hub.
Mm-hmm.
But they serve food. They sell food that everybody's using.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to use Burger King chicken sandwich they use, you can use the same chicken sandwich, just order from the same vendor, you know.
I wonder now. Okay, let me give you your thought on this. How about McDonald's?
They all have the only thing, McDonald's controls a lot of their own stuff. They control their French fries.
Sure.
And McDonald's is so big now that they have their own cow farms and things like
mm-hmm.
that. So places like that, they have their own warehouses mm-hmm. and facilities and teams that they use to mm-hmm. distribute their food.
That's what I thought.
So McDonald's, you only see McDonald's trucks going to McDonald's because McDonald's is big enough
yeah.
where they have fields that grow lettuce, tomatoes. Yeah.
That's
they
part have, of their brand. Yeah, is that yeah. it's this.
Yeah, so they don't buy from outside vendors like that. They are their own vendors. Mm-hmm. So.
So that's interesting. That's you know, I tend to I mean, if a product is good or okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know. But if it's just horrible.
But see, you know, most people think when they go into these, you know, places to order chicken tenders, that they somebody back there hand breads and tenders. Now, some places, yes, they do.
They will say hand-breaded.
Yeah, they will say hand-breaded. Mm-hmm. But most of these places, man, yep. you go into Jack in the Box yep. and all, they don't hand-bread no tenders, man. They popping open a bag. And,
you should see, I have asked so many people that question. Are they hand-breaded? And it's different. It's funny when the people have no clue. The people, it's so, the eyes get big, like, what? Or they go back, let me go ask the manager.
Yeah, it's. I know. I tell you, I learned something from my vendor last week. We was talking about vegetables. So, and when I say this, I need y'all to think about this, and think about how the trend. It's always a few months in between before we get good fruits and vegetables,
mm.
and it's a reason why. It's because they shift regions.
Mm, yeah.
So. California only grows for 6 months out of the year.
Anything that they grow?
Well, whatever they grow.
Okay, okay.
I'm just,
gotcha.
Yeah, whatever okay. they grow.
Mm-hmm.
They grow that for 6 months out of the year, and then it switches back to Arizona or mm-hmm. wherever else
sure.
they're going to grow for the other
sure.
6 months.
Sure.
So let's say they're growing, it's in the Arizona 6 month period.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit and vegetables at first are going to be good. It's going to be decent
absolutely,
quality.
Absolutely.
And then, as you notice, as we get to
yep.
around
yep.
spring,
mm-hmm.
that the vegetables start tasting nasty.
Something is not sweet.
Yeah. Poor quality. They go bad fast. So
yep.
what it happens, these forms, they work in this state and they work in the other state.
People.
Same people.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end, once they get towards the end of their harvest,
mm-hmm.
they're packing up everything they can, whether it's ripened or semi-ripened, because it takes them a month to move from this state to that state to set up, and to set up. So that's why it's always a period of time where, so we get poor quality vegetables and poor quality fruits, because we're waiting on the switch over. Then we'll notice, like, once summertime comes, everything starts getting better. You know, so yeah, but that's why. It's because most people, they switch regions throughout the year on products. Because even, and what made me get into this conversation with my rep, because I've been noticing that a lot of our produce that we get in, we've been getting in late, is either going bad fast or is damn near bad when it get there. And then, so I was asking him, because I started talking to Alex about, you know, maybe he's trying to switch and find somebody else. And so Dale, my rep, kind of explained to me that
it's not
going to
matter, basically.
Well, it can. I'll get to that next. It can matter, because, but in this situation, it doesn't matter through them. It doesn't. But if you went to a smaller company like Chef Produce, Brothers Produce, and places like that, who the only thing they specialize in is produce, then you're going to get better quality produce from them, because they don't specialize in meat. They don't specialize in chicken, shrimp. They only specialize in produce. So they make sure they pick top-notch produce. And they, people like that, they may have different purveyors around the world that can provide, that they have in going to different regions that can pull those stuff instead of two or three regions. And like I said, it's more of a concentration on fruits and vegetables and not nothing else. So they have a better chance of giving better quality things. And plus, you get a lot of things you can't find through certain people through them also.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've talked about, or gone on our rant about restaurants, as we normally do. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Anything new or different at the grocery store lately that you've seen or picked up? Guys, I'm still trying to convince Zed to do my show.
Well, I'm always picking up weird fruits and stuff. I'm into this.
Right.
I eat a lot of fruit now, so I'm always looking for different kinds of fruits to try. I did get some pretty nice, I finally got to taste a red dragon fruit. And what I mean by red, a red meat dragon fruit.
Oh, okay.
The outside is still red, like the but usually when you cut them open, they're white.
I heard some people talking about dragon fruit.
So I never had a chance to eat one of the red meat ones. So I did get a chance to eat one of the red meat ones. And that was pretty good. I enjoyed it. That is some yellow ones. I made a nice little food salad with that, with star fruit and things like that, and blueberries. So yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, I'm on a fruit kick, y'all.
I was thinking about this earlier. I'm like, are you eating any sweets outside of fruit?
Yes, I still eat sweets sometimes.
Not saying that you should,
This is what I do now. I've learned. I've developed so much self control. That it's easy for me to just take a bite of something and leave it at that. So if I want something sweet, I can take a bite of it, take a couple bites of it, and I'm done with it. So if I eat a cookie, it's half a cookie.
That's great.
Like other day, we had some guava cheesecake that one of our reps had sent us. Ate a couple of bites of that and threw it away.
Throw it away.
Yeah, you got to throw it away.
Like, if I like it, then it's eat a couple of bites and put it away.
But see, if you put it away, you're gonna keep going back to it.
That's the intent.
Yeah.
It's eat a couple of bites now and eat a few later. Now, you know, the next day or something. But yeah, I get the few bites part. I can do that. But yeah, throw it away. If I like it, that's tough.
Yeah. So yeah. I've even got to where I most of the time I just eat, unless I'm real hungry. I eat half of my food now. And y'all, it's I probably lost probably 80 pounds now.
Wow.
And it's just, I started with sugar. I started with cutting out the thing that I took in the most. And I as I sat down, I had to analyze my meals every day. And when you do this, you have to analyze everything, what you drink, what you eat,
yeah,
all of that. Because I was finding that I was getting more calories because I was drinking tea, sweet tea, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I always drink water, but I was drinking just as much sweet tea as I was water. Mm-hmm. So when you sit and look at that, that's taking in a lot of calories every day. Mm-hmm. So I'm drinking tea. Then they say if I eat a piece of cake, that's extra sugar in a day on top of all the other sugar I took in. Then I eat some bread or something. And then I throw some natural sugar from fruit in there. Well, that's a lot of sugar your body's having to process.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think about it like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and once I started thinking about it like that, it was hard at first. I started out, like I said, I love tea, y'all. And I still drink sweet tea. Most time, once a week, I'll have me a glass of sweet tea. But I still put more unsweet tea in it than I do sweet now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point, because I had what's the drink with the tea and the lemonade?
Arnold Palmer.
The Arnold Palmer, and now I'm okay with the unsweet tea with the lemonade.
Yeah.
To make it that way, I'm very much okay with that. I have to tell you two things, and one I can't remember, and one almost just slipped my mind. But I was listening to this guy talk about healthy eating. And he brought up eating the enriched grits being a reason why we gain weight from them versus just the plain corn, just the and I was like, okay.
Those 5 minute grits are horrible for you.
Okay.
That 5 minute oatmeal is horrible for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, and this is what I talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anything man has went in and changed the way that it's supposed to be done, they have to strip away things that are good for you as the product exists in its original form.
Mm-hmm.
If oatmeal was meant to be cooked for 5 minutes, it would have been God would have made it grow, work, and cook for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But most people it takes a while to get to thinking like that though, and see, most people don't want to think about food like that because food is their comfort.
I just never thought that the enriched ingredients were the reason why I was gaining or why I was so heavy as a child, because we ate that a lot.
What is the main thing in bread? It's enriched flour,
right?
So it's
enriched with what?
It's not about what it's enriched with. It's what they taken out of it to get this product. Mm-hmm. The white part to make the flour, because flour is not normally white. So they have to enrich it and bleach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they add things to it, take away things from it to get the, you know, what they want, you know, out of it. But yeah, a lot of things are like that.
I also thought I was getting a peach tea and I looked very heavily for it to say diet or no sugar added, or you know what I mean, light or something like that, right? So because those are those things I look for to know that there's an artificial sweetener in it. It wasn't until I drank it, and I have a bit of a small reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So my head gets a little stuffy. I can get a headache.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I turn it over to see the very last ingredient is a salsa formate, whatever that one is, potassium or something like that. And I was like, they got me. And I had gotten a whole little thing of it.
Well, so we have to understand, so anything that comes off a shelf is going to be filled with additives.
Mm-hmm.
And most of these,
but they had sugar in it. But I don't know why.
Did it say natural sugar? Did it say pure natural, 100% natural sugar?
Is that the only way you're not going to add artificial sweeteners in it?
Yeah.
Yes. Cedric, come on now.
Yes. That's why I only drink stuff that says cane sugar only. If it doesn't say cane, what else are they going to sweeten it with if it's not using regular sugar?
You could just use sugar. It could just be cane sugar.
But they not most drinks are either fructose base or artificial sweetose base. So now, since high fructose has gotten such a bad rap now, they're moving toward. That's why
they see. They say sugar in the ingredient,
but sweet stevia sugar, Syracuse sugar, But the mono stuff, that's all, that's considered sugar too.
Okay. So I got two different types of sugar in this thing. One of them just says sugar, but they can put whatever they want in it, is what you're saying.
It can be two tablespoons of sugar in it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's the second ingredient.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
So they probably added a little real sugar. Mm-hmm. Then they added the other, whatever other sweetener they added on to it to boost the whatever flavor they wanted up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And didn't have to change the label.
Mm-mm, no. Cause it's man, they own the FDA, man. It doesn't, FDA doesn't care what comes to the market, man. These if that was the case, a lot of things would be taken off the shelf.
I was trying to think of the name of it so people would know which sweet tea I'm talking about. Go ahead.
It's like I bought some of the Debbie cakes, mm-hmm. and when I ate one of them, it tasted nothing like what it used to taste like. It tasted like nothing but wax. This was months ago, y'all. It tasted just like wax.
Oh, really?
And it never used to taste like wax. Mm-hmm. If you eat a candy bar now, you taste a waxiness to it. Eat a honey bun, you taste a waxiness to these things now. So we can tell, us older folks, we can tell that these products have changed, because these are things that we've eaten since we was little kids. Mm-hmm. So you can tell when you eat them now, the difference in them.
Knowledge has let me understand that they changed the ingredients. I used to think it was just my taste buds.
I did too. Yeah, I thought. Yeah, now yeah.
Let me understand that. You know, it's just not the same thing. No. It's almost not even edible.
No,
they
went to cheaper ingredients. Mm. And like I said, food companies, it's about the bottom line and profit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they gonna go find the cheapest, greenest they can. Back in the day when we was growing up as kids, everything was about quality. Mm-hmm. It's not about quality anymore. It's about quantity now and how much money we can make as a corporation. Because mm-hmm. these big execs got to take these fancy vacations. You know, it's the truth, you know. they got to pay these big executives to sit and make these
big bills.
Yeah, make these decisions. So mm-hmm. some got to take the cheap route. So it's the product. Cause see, long as the consumer doesn't complain and keeps eating it.
Yeah, as long as the consumer continues to consume it. Yeah.
What we gonna say? Mm-hmm. Kraft barbecue changed what? 20 years ago?
Oh, they changed a lot more often than
that. Well, I'm just saying the first change, it changed about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it started tasting different. And that's when I stopped using it.
I'm very well aware that they changed their formulas.
Velveeta mac and cheese? Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be that salty. That's salty as hell.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm not a consumer.
If you fix something to taste it, salty. Yeah. So much sodium now, you know.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, yeah, it's so much change that has came from food, and it hasn't been for good. And we keep consuming all these things and giving this stuff to our kids, man, and allowing our kids to, and we wonder why our kids keep getting younger and younger, cancer, diabetes, mm-hmm. you know, young kids having heart attack, young kids getting ulcers in their stomachs because they parents let them eat Takis all day and hot flaming hot Cheetos, you know.
I remember getting quite upset after tasting. There's been a couple of times I've tasted some things that's marketed to the kids, and I purchased it for my son. And I ended up tasting it and was livid. And all he knew is the next thing he knew, that was not a product he can no longer eat. He just like, what? Yeah.
Kids don't be kids get mad with that. Yeah. But yeah, man. Doing that. But see, you know, this generation that's raising kids, it's so easy for them to DoorDash their kids from McDonald's, DoorDash their kids fast food from everywhere.
To the school too.
Because most of them don't know how to cook.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't.
Man. I know some that do, but they did still would DoorDash some food up to the school. You're right.
You show me.
I just said I know some that do.
Okay.
But they take advantage because it helps. It works that they're working, they're busy.
Yeah.
And somebody forgot their lunch and this, that, and the other, and they're doing dash into the school. And I'm just saying that the convenience, I get it. And the, you know.
But is it really convenience?
You mean it's the cost too high for the convenience?
Yeah, is it really convenience?
It's convenient. It's just what high cost.
What's convenient about it?
You didn't have to stop, go home, go get their lunch, and bring it up there, which is something you can't do without sacrificing your work. That's the convenience.
Some people.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those people. That's the people I know. I'm not talking about somebody who might be at home and dab door dashing their food to the school.
So I'm not talking about. If they left their lunch, you could have just called up, put some money on their lunch card. They called at school.
Well, they do that too.
And they could have ate that day. Well, they just had too. To eat at school that day.
They do that too. Because I wasn't even aware that you could DoorDash food to the school. Right? When I grew up, that wasn't even an option to send, bring fast food into the school. That was not an option.
They don't care no more. You know, it's this society, man. It's not like they care, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like when we had the program that the Obamas tried to put in place of eating healthy in the schools, and they took all, man, them kids just go stop at the corner store and buy their chips and stuff.
what can they do about that?
Okay, we can't get out the vending machine in school. Okay, that don't mean we're going to stop eating it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time.
Probably fueled some of that selling this stuff.
It did.
Were they selling contraband food at school in your age? I don't think so.
Well,
I don't remember that.
Yes, like we would sell candy bars and things like that.
Really?
See, I mean, we had a full grocery store in our locker.
I want to say, I think somebody did too at my school. That somebody sells. So one of my friends.
Yeah, we would sell sodas and stuff and cakes Yeah, my homeboy worked at Vineyard too. We'd be selling everything out of our locker. We had one locker that was just a sale locker. And you can come get anything out the locker.
Okay, special. They were.
Y'all, I went to a hood school. I told y'all I'm a hood person, man. I'm just educated, you know. I am a hood person, you know. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I just got it together now.
The whole locker and the convenience store.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, we had a whole little convenience store, man.
As far as I know, my friends and I, we had to go get your stuff if you didn't bring it with you. Yeah.
I had to tell you later everything we sold out of there.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
Yeah. But
what's our main topic for today?
So, since we've been talking about all these different additives in food, things on the shelf that they have to put all these preservatives and things in, and as I've stated before, we've done shows before, a lot of food that we eat here in America is banned across seas. Mm-hmm. Let me say this one more time. A lot of food we eat in America is banned across seas in other countries. And the reason is because it's laced with poisonous dyes, poisonous additives that have been known to cause cancer, diabetes, and other things inside the human body. So for the longest, the United States has gone turning their heads. States have let the FDA run chaotic and make all these crazy regulations to make things easier to get to the markets and everything. And a lot of our states have just always went with the, this is America, this is what we serve here, we don't care. Well, this month, the state of California decided, right, in fact, the state of California decided that January 1st, 2027, that they're going to stop allowing, it's called the California Food Safety Act. And it says that after which any person or entity that manufactures, sells, or distributes food products containing the additives in question, red dye number 3, potassium bromate, brominated vegetable oil, and propolarbian,
which is like a plastic, would be fined. So, red dye, I don't know if y'all remember how nasty red cake icing used to be back in the day. It tasted like medicine and the yellow. And it's because of that dye. That red dye, and it's in Skittles, it's in M&M's, it's in Gatorade, it's in a lot of products. But that dye causes cancer and other things in the body. And it's known, but it has always been allowed here in America to be put into our food and to our candies and other things like that. So through this act, California is banning that. And like I said, along with the potassium bromate, the propiol, parbium, the BVO, and the red dye.
Okay.
So food in California now would be a lot healthier, especially junk food, because a lot of this stuff is in junk food. One of my favorite little candy snacks is candy corn. And it's in there. So
Spanish peanuts.
Yeah, and the Spanish peanuts. Yeah. Yeah. So it's in a lot of things and a lot of drinks that we drink. It's used, like I said, it's in a lot of products. But there are other states who are going to jump on board.
Okay.
And
so to me, and I'm listening, you can finish. I just want to get these out here for us to talk about. I wonder what the substitutes will be, right? What will they use instead? And then, which I have to know, I have to, because of the politics of the whole situation, the fact that they have until 2027 to stop it, that's politics first.
Yes, yes,
but then
yes.
What they have to already, they already know, so I wonder what the plan is for substituting. I would imagine they already have started with that. But also, I think I forgot my other point, but mainly 2027, and what's the substitutes? I had another point for that.
Yeah, that is an interesting question. Are there going to be even substitutes? You know, it could be
red candy.
But you don't. It's
because you know what made me. Well, I know it's got to be some solutions. I think it's some solutions because when you go to the farmer's market or the organic places, they have red candies.
Well, all red dyes are not that. All red dyes are not that specific
so
dye.
So that's the point. Okay.
Yeah. It's the red dye number 4 specific, and the yellow dot 3, I believe, that's harmful. Mm-hmm. It's a specific chemical. It's a specific red dot that's used in a lot of food stuff.
Mm-hmm. I do notice that my red candy at the Sprouts or the farmer's market, it's not the same red color.
No.
It's
sometimes it's more, it's like a little lighter red, but there are other options where you can get red from.
Yeah.
And it's in peppermint.
Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah, it's in peppermint. You know, it's in a lot of, just think about a lot of things that are candy, especially candy-wise, that have that deep red in it. You know, like I said, M&M, Skittles, you know.
And I've tasted a mint gum, a natural organic mint gum. It was a little different, but it was still good.
Yeah,
it didn't have
all
that in there.
Well, like I said, that's a big deal breaker, man. You know, that's finally somebody's at least trying to look out for the overall health of the people.
It was California first.
Yes, well, if you know anything about politics and things like that, California always leads the way, and usually what California does, the rest of the states follow. And it's always been like that. If you look at a lot of laws that have been passed, it's certain states they originate from. And once that certain state originates it, all the other states fall in line with it. It's the same thing with the cars. When California banned the cars in so many years, they only gonna have electric cars. And you see all the other states start jumping aboard also. But yeah, that's how California usually leads the way. But like I said, there's already several more states getting on board with this to put the similar bans in place. And like I said, that's better because we need to get back to a time where food was healthy for the body.
I remember my other point, and it's alongside what I think may have driven it to this point, because in the whole country, federal wise, we have these climate initiatives, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
With that though, what made me think about something I just heard was that I did not know, but I'm not surprised that this is possible, but I did not know that within this, within the push to for the climate to be better, there are companies, up and coming companies, that are making millions, plan to be a $1 trillion industry for the buyouts for not improving your product, not reducing your carbon. But if you will go and pay to buy some $20 million land that they can use to reduce carbon, it's called climate credits or something like that. Uh-huh. I was like, is this the point? Is this the point that I'm going to buy my way out? I'm not changing nothing about my product, but I'll buy that land and you can do what you want to do on that land. And that's going to offset me never changing my product.
It's
politics.
You're never going to take away the buying power and the solicitation power that these big companies have.
I know.
And they're going to always find a loophole.
Yeah.
They got people that work for them, mm-hmm. who their job is to find loopholes, mm-hmm. and they're gonna find loopholes and find a way to get it. It's just like, look how much stuff gets to go into the grocery store. FDA has all these regulations, and just look at all the things that get to go on the market and into food that's harmful, and they just like, they don't curl.
Yeah,
they say, okay, y'all
you
can
don't
have
eat enough of it to yeah. make it harmful to you.
You can have canned goods, but it's gonna be bugs in the canned goods because we're not gonna tell these people they gotta keep their facilities bug free. But it's only so many bug particles we're gonna allow in your canned good though. You know, sure, we're gonna walk into this peanut butter factory and we're gonna see rats running everywhere, but we still gonna let y'all blend these peanuts up and sell them to people. This is the kind of things that goes on that they allow. Mm-hmm. But as consumers, as long as we continue to support these products, mm-hmm. and accept these things from these people, it's going to continue to happen.
But I think it's also our job to let folk know as well. You have options, right?
Yes. But what they've done.
Well, that's what we want.
Just think about it. Before we let them take control of us like this and made us dependent on everything from them, I mean big government, because at first families were independent. If you had a family of 17, that family had a little property most of the time. They did their own farming. They raised their own cows, pigs, chickens. They grew most of the things they ate. And when we live like that, we had better health. We weren't dying as quick. All this disease went in our body. But until we shifted and let them control the dynamic and saying, all right, y'all forget all y'all food. Y'all don't need to grow nothing no more. We're gonna take away all the farmland and put all these houses. That way you ain't got to grow food, but we're going to give you these grocery stores that sell these subpar products that you was growing that was great for you. But now you got to depend on this grocery store because we'd have told you this is better. And we made it where it's more convenient for your life. Mm-hmm. And saying, man, I think we got to get up, go tend to the farm. We got to get up, go tend to the animals.
And not only just, you know, creating that environment, but also forcing you out of your business.
Yes, 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 mm-hmm. yes. You know, most people don't understand that it's illegal in some states to catch rainwater. Something that comes from the sky that's not produced by no man. It's illegal to catch. Because you can set up a rainwater system where you don't have to depend on the water system to pay for water. But if everybody did that, we don't need no water company no more. Now this big corporation can't keep juicing us. You know, in some states, it's illegal to have farms. They do not want us self-sufficient, because if we become self-sufficient, we have longer lives,
We live better. We eat better. That's why I push. We all should be growing food. I don't care if you got a backyard, grow a backyard full of watermelons. Grow a backyard full of onions. I'll trade you. I trade some greens for some onions. I trade some tomatoes for some onions. We can set up our own systems where we are growing clean food, supporting each other, and eating good. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I promise you, go ahead.
I've been seeing this a lot in the Latin community. I know a guy, he raises chickens, and he has probably 100-some families that come and buy chickens from him.
Well, that's good.
Because they know the chickens they get from him is a lot more healthier than that chicken is in the grocery store. Uh-huh. And his chickens are big and pretty. They run around all day free.
I wish I could remember, and I may have to try to do some work on this to figure out who was this farmer or where was this farmer that had a cow farm, but his cow farm was not considered the cow dung or, you know, it wasn't considered a climate issue. It was the way he was doing it. And I was like, I'm curious as to, and I know he's selling the cows, the story was he's selling the cows for consumerism. But I was like, well, I wonder how is he doing this? Or what is the difference?
Well, he probably taking the dung and making other products out of it, which you know, it could be, dung can be used for a lot of things. It can be used to build a house.
Yeah, it can be used
to fuel fire.
Yeah, know about that too.
Yeah, you know, dung can be used for a lot of different things. But like I said, we got out of the concept, that's nasty. I'm not fit to touch that.
Yeah,
when our people...
It's nasty. Just because it's useful
don't mean it wasn't nasty. It's nasty because that's how we've been bred to think. Because we don't see the use of it. But the people who used it to fuel fire, to cook with...
I get it.
The people who used it to build houses, it was something that was a natural resource.
The house thing, I'm still on that. I don't know what we're doing with that, but... I get that, and I know about it.
You just smell shit all day. Exactly. What's that smell when the wind blows shit?
But I get the useful part, you know.
The smell goes away once it dries completely.
Yeah, I was listening to a heartbreaking story about the Maasai people, who are people who use them to build their homes. And just what's happening to them I think this is someplace in Africa that they are. I think that's where they are.
Yeah.
That's where they are. And they're being pushed out of their land for some very, very selfish reasons.
Yes.
And
I think it's pathetic. Well, that's because they don't want, only time they want you to feel sorry for Africa is when they go to these remote villages where tribes still live like they have always lived. Mm-hmm. And how these tribes live, yes, they're going to have famine. Yes, they're going to have harvests where their crops mess up and they can't eat a lot of food. Because these people still live how they have always lived, and that is off the land. They don't depend on somebody going slaughtering a cow for them. These people go do their own hunting.
The Maasai people were also expert cow farmers.
They farm. Yeah. So if Africa doesn't get water and these how these people live, yes, they go through food. Yes, their kids don't get the nutrition they need, but all of Africa's not like that. But what the people do, they run to Africa and show you these tribes. Well, look at these people, they're malnourished. They have aid in such and such. Well, that's not everybody over there. That is only a small percentage of people who choose who choose not to get into the lifestyle that we have bought into. They choose to live off the land and how their tribes have always lived life. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, they don't have all the problems we have because they ain't got no electricity. They ain't got no game boys. They ain't got no light bills that they worrying about. They have a lot of the stresses we have in our lives, them people do not have in their lives because they don't have all this stuff we have. Because they choose not to. Yeah. So... Mm-hmm.
I will say this, what I was going to say is that our challenge question that I'm going to post is, what are you going to grow? What is going to be your food that you choose to grow?
Yes, yes. It is that time of the year, y'all. I went and picked up some of my things today that I'm going to be growing. We're going to get Lisa's garden together.
I know. Look, I have to make my list. And every time we talk about this, I think of a list and I was like, I'm going to make the list. We're going to stick with it.
But I tell y'all some of the things that I picked up today. Mm-hmm. I picked up some the black watermelons.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. How long do they take to grow, you think? Is it years?
No, I have some later in the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have some later in the year. Okay. The black diamond watermelons, I'm going to grow some of them. I got a different variety of squash that I'm going to try this year and zucchini. I have 4 or 5 different types of tomatoes. I like to go try to get old varieties. I found this one called Queen Mother Tomatoes. It looks pretty interesting. I got some yellow tomatoes and a couple of reds also. A couple of different hot peppers. Mm-hmm. Some
Scotch
bonnet. No, I didn't get Scotch bonnet. I got ghost peppers this year. Jalapenos. I always grow jalapenos. I got a Thai chili. I got a sweet yellow bell pepper, orange bell pepper, and a green bell pepper I'm going to grow. I'm going to do 3 different types of greens. I got to go to the feed store Monday or Tuesday to get the greens, my green seeds, because it was closed today. But I'm going to do some mustards and a couple of different varieties of collards. I have some herbs, rosemary, thyme, and something else I got today too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, looking forward to getting everything in the ground tomorrow and let nature take place and do what they need to do. Yeah, I ain't gonna say how much I spent today,
yeah,
but
yeah. But,
It's it does. It costs to get started, but it's worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have greens all year long.
Now let me ask you this question: is everything in a bed, a raised bed, or something's not?
Okay. I don't do bed. I just bought a new house, so I didn't want to till up all the ground and stuff, so I'm doing raised beds in buckets. I love the bucket method. The bucket method, you take two 5-gallon buckets, you drill a hole in the bottom of one, and you drill a big hole in the middle. You put a sponge or a towel right there. And so once you set inside the other bucket, you drill one hole on the side so excess water can spill out because you don't want too much water standing there. So what this does, I create a wick system where it's water in the bottom bucket. The sponge or the towel, I pull up into the dirt and pack dirt around it. So it wicks up the water into the dirt where the dirt stays moist all the time. And I don't have to waste a lot of water for one.
Okay.
And it doesn't take a lot of water to keep my plants hydrated because of the wick system that I've built into it. I built a above ground wooden structure for that I'm going to do my watermelons in. And I built, I have some tubs that I bought. You can buy at Walmart, just a little plastic totes.
Mm-hmm.
I take those, drill holes in the bottom up. You got to give the water somewhere to go. If not, you will ruin your garden. It will mold. So you drill holes at the bottom so you can get good drainage. And the totes, that's what I'm going to do. The buckets, I'm going to put my tomatoes and things like that in. Certain totes, I'm going to put greens in. And I got certain totes I'm putting herbs in.
I love that.
So, yeah.
I love that. That's we'll have to do that for me.
Yeah.
That's probably best for me.
But, yeah, the bucket method is real easy. And, like I said, it allows you don't have to use a lot of water. I try to do things. It gets hot in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, me and my brother, man, we experimented over the years. And, you know, we tried a lot of different ways of growing things. And we learned by trial and error. And the tote method and the bucket method is where you can use less water and get good yields also because it produces a great root system that way. And you get great yields that way. So, and it also allows you, if you start getting cold too quick, you can move them inside your garage or whatever real easy. So
that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. I really like that method.
So, people, let's grow some things, y'all. Y'all send me a message, man. Let's do some trade, man. Y'all want one of these juicy watermelons? I'm finna grow, man. I was going to do some cantaloupes, too, but I would have to build another bucket. And I ain't got time right now. I may do it later. Okay. But, yeah, but y'all, man, just try it. I am going to give me a couple of blueberry bushes and blackberry bushes as well. I love blueberries, and blueberries grow easy. Okay. So I'm going to give me a couple of blueberry bushes and a couple of blackberry bushes. And, yeah, so I'm having some berries. And
I have to ask my sister, has she been able to get any lemons off of her lemon or lime tree? She got lemon
lime tree. I seen a lime tree today. I started to get one when I was at Lowe's. Lowe's had lime trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My aunt in California, she has oranges and lime trees, lemon trees all on her property. Now you just pick lemons and oranges.
I just need to walk through there. Yeah. I just want to walk through one of those areas. Oh my gosh. I used to say that was the real reason why I wanted to go to Italy.
Yeah. I just
want to walk through.
Those type of things are cool. But y'all, next week, we will be at a foodie event that they're having in Dallas. It's his first time coming to Dallas. It's a food festival that we're going to go cover next Sunday. So we're going to do some live shots. So I'll really be posting some videos on our YouTube page. Or
trying to get me to taste stuff.
Yeah, so we're going to go taste a few things and see what this festival brings to Texas and see if it's foodie shack worthy. So if it don't taste good, we're going to tell you.
I know.
If it's a bunch of trash, we're going to let you know. If it's good, we're going to give you praises.
You know, we got to get back to, because I have gone to a little mom and pop shop for a minute now, and I apologize. This is during this last, it's called Belize here. And it's one of those small menus where I've kind of creeped up and tried a few different things off the menu.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to give them a shout out for that reason, that you're doing decent food, doing a good job. And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Shout out to all the mom and pop places, man, who put in that work.
Yeah.
Who put their love in the food, you know, and who come to work hard, leave tired every day and know that they left it all into them dishes, man. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. That's what I look for when I go out to places, man. I really stopped going to a lot of big places.
Yeah.
It's an easy decision, chains and umbrellas, these umbrella companies. like I said, if I'm gonna put some food in my belly, it's gonna be some good food. It's gonna be some I sit there and do a little dance while I'm eating. Start doing that little shake. You know, you shake to the side when it's good. You get that little wiggle on. So I want everybody to go get them something good as we can do that wiggle dance, y'all. As you eat it, do that little wiggle dance, you know. We hope everybody's enjoyed the show tonight. Like I said, big ups to California. Mm-hmm. Let's try to control some of the things that we eat and we put into our bodies, y'all. These companies, these people don't care. And we have to start realizing that, man, it's all about profit for them. This is a profit-driven world. And so let's take better of the things we feed our kids, for one. Because when we gone, they still going to be around. And we don't need their bodies to be broke down from the eating habits that we have taught them. You know, stop telling your kids this fruits and vegetables are nasty. Let them develop that for themselves. Mm. Let them taste this and say, man, absolutely, I don't like this, or I do like this. You know, we need to stop telling our kids just because we don't enjoy something that they can't enjoy. Mm-hmm. They're not us. Mm-hmm. They may like it.
Yes.
Just because you don't like it, let them live their life and let them mm-hmm. grow
and explore,
into what they need to be and to the person who they need to become. Mm-hmm. You know, we're here to oversee their lives, but let them experiment. Let them figure out and tell you, no, mom, I ain't like that. I tried it.
Yeah.
I ain't like that.
Right.
Or I tried it. Mama said, can I get some more of that? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, give them their choice. Stop telling them what they don't like. Let them tell you. Let them eat it. Even if you don't like to eat it. Mm-hmm. You know, I get a kick every time I walk into a sushi restaurant and see little kids and they're eating sushi. Because most adults are scared to try sushi. Mm-hmm. But to see this little kid who's accepted that this is different, mm-hmm. but it tastes good, mm-hmm.
even though it's different, it tastes good.
Yeah.
And that's what food is all about, y'all. It is so much things out here that are different, but they taste good. But you'll never know that because we're stuck in this little field that says, I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Most of the things I didn't like when I was growing up, I love now.
Appreciate different flavors.
Mm-hmm. And it was because I got the taste of being cooked and presented in different ways. See, a lot of our parents ruined a lot of things for us because they boiled the mess out of vegetables. You know, their concept of cooking was theirs.
Yeah.
That was their concept of cooking. Yeah. You have to develop your own concept. So let's start developing our concept. Let's start growing some fruits and vegetables, y'all. Get these gardens going. And y'all hit me up. I'm ready to trade. I'm going to have some watermelons later on this year, y'all. And some big old juicy tomatoes. And plenty of greens. So everybody have a good night. Like I said, we will be covering the food festival next week. And sharing it with y'all on our next show. We may not do a recorded show next week because we're going to be on live on site, but we will bring y'all the results of that the week after that. All right. So everybody have a good night. Enjoy some good food this week.
All right.